Let's turn to John chapter 3, please, quickly. Deacon Bill. Let's start at verse 16, and we're going to read 16, 17, and 18. Everybody there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. Well, tonight I'd like to begin by ministering to you on a topic that I know many of you have heard, and there's been a lot of variations on the topic, but the Lord began to give me some revelation in this area, and I really want to just walk through some things that I believe will bless your heart. And no pun intended, the title is Walking in the Favor of God. Walking in the favor of God. We're going to address a topic that the Lord has been stirring in my spirit. In order for us to take our rightful place in the Lord and walk in his favor, it will be imperative that we align our words with what God has decreed. Amen? More specifically, there needs to be an increased emphasis placed on what is happening in the area of your soul. And by soul, I want you to keep this in the category of what we're speaking, what we're hearing, what we're thinking, and what we're believing. So when you hear me refer to soul, keep that as the focus or context of what we're going to be discussing. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, our spirit was immediately changed. However, there is a transformation that must occur between our soul and body, so that we can walk in total victory in this life. Say this: I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. Now, we've definitely been taught that, so I'm not even going to spend much time on, you know, the importance of all three of those, but it is vitally important that we know that we are a spirit being. One definition for soul is the seat of human personality, intellect, will, and emotions. It is also referred to as our heart or core. Okay? Now let me ask you this. This is one of the questions that, you know, when you're studying and conversing with the Lord, when he starts to ask you questions, get ready, because he's trying to assess where we are and what we're thinking so that he can elevate. And that's what he does with me. I'll speak specifically for Kevin. And let me ask you this. I want you to think over your life, the amount of time that has been invested in you being taught to speak, whether it was through, you know, your elementary schools, high schools, college, professional training. How much time, just quickly, would you say over your lifetime has been invested in learning how to speak, whether it's speech classes or just learning how to communicate effectively? Y'all, amen? Everybody there? Okay. How much? How many? 40,000. Okay. Anybody else? All right. From birth? Now, conversely, let me ask you, how much training have you received on hearing or listening? I would hasten to say it's nowhere near 40,000 hours. We have done a great job in instructing people, whether it's in the professional world, and most importantly, even in the body of Christ. We've been taught about confessing the word. We've been taught about, you know, interpreting the word. But how much time have we gotten before God and say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to know. There are many people in the body of Christ today walking around. Is that you, Lord? Was that the Lord? Or was that me? In the hour in which we are, it is absolutely imperative for the body of Christ to be hearing God's voice clearly. His word says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So church, let's fine-tune our hearing. Everything we have in life is shaped by what we are hearing. Our hearing must be acute to God's voice. When we are where we are supposed to be, there is a favor flow that is in that ordained spot. Would you like me to say that again? When we are where we are supposed to be, there is a favor flow that is in that ordained spot. When you are in that ordained spot, there is no stress, strain, or struggle. I'm going to say that again. When we are in that ordained spot where we are supposed to be, there is no stress, strain, or struggle. I'm going to let that marinate. One thing I'd like to ask you tonight. There's going to be some things that you're going to hear. There's going to be some things that you immediately have heard and can identify with. But tonight, this is the school of the Bible. I'm in the right place, right? It's going to be as important that as the word came forth, the Lord is here. You are to, with your mouth, receive. Receive. That's a part of hearing. We're going to learn that. A part of hearing is you acknowledging when something bears witness with your spirit, I receive that. That's mine. We usually, you know, we say lifting up. You can lift up your hands and receive. But you can also receive with your mouth, because your words have power. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's turn quickly. We're going to look at several scriptures tonight, but we're going to use our mouth. We're going to receive, and we're going to walk out of here changed tonight. When I was coming and interceding, the Lord gave me a word, and I'm going to share it because I'm released to share it now. He said, tonight is graduation night. It's time. We've been coming. We've been training. It's graduation time. Amen. Amen. Receive that. Glory to God. Please turn quickly to Genesis 22. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation in this chapter, so just follow along with me. And I'm going to use and require and ask for your participation. So just flow with me and the Holy Spirit this evening. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, I'm going to read all the way through verse 13, so follow with me, please. Sometimes later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Say, go to the land of Moriah.
Go to the land of Moriah.
Okay. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day on their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place. Say, saw the place. In the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship. Say, we will worship.
We will worship.
There. And then we will go, come right back. Verse 6. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide. Say, God will provide.
God will provide.
A sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, say, told him to go.
Told him to go.
Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, say, at that moment,
at that moment,
the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here am I. Say, here am I.
Here am I.
Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thickets. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named that place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. Say, the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use the name as a proverb, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, I asked you to say some things, and I want you to listen to this for a second. And this is when the Lord really began to deal with me about our ministry and the vision that he's given this ministry. And particularly in regards to the new property. I asked you in verse 2 to say, go to the land of Moriah. Now, the Lord told me, go to the land of Nanuet, to the mall. Now, follow me. Follow this. Then in verse 3, he said, when Abraham looked up, I asked you to say, he saw a place. We see a place. Later in that verse, he said, I asked you to say, we will worship. We will worship. What have we been doing on Friday nights? We've called that property ours. We see it in a distance. And we've been worshiping. Follow along. In verse 8, I asked you to say, God will provide. It's not for us. He will provide because he's spoken it. In verse 9, I asked you to say, told him to go. When it's time to go, he's going to tell us. After he's provided, it's going to be time to go. And after we're preparing, we're doing everything we're supposed to do, just as Abraham was. And when Abraham picked up the knife, it was at that moment. As we have been walking around that building, walking through that building, driving past that building, and speaking to it and saying, God has use for you. It'll be at that moment. And what did he say? What did God say to Abraham? Now that you have sacrificed, I know that you will not withhold anything from me. He then said, here am I. It's the back to the consecration, making that, doing that extra commitment and making the sacrifice personally. That's going to bring it to pass. From an individual standpoint to a congregational standpoint, it's at that moment. At that moment. And back to it, and then he said it again in verse 13. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Say that with me. The Lord will provide. Do you believe that this evening? Amen. Now I have something else for you to say, and we're gonna speak some things out tonight. Because we're gonna get it out there in the atmosphere, and we're gonna believe to receive it. Because one of the other things the Lord told me, we are in the call it season, but he also said we are in the season of suddenlies. Suddenly, we're going to speak God's word and stuff is going to happen. Stuff is going to change. Receive that. Receive that. Receive that. Glory to God. Say this. Favor is hidden in the voice of God. And found in the obedience of his instructions. Favor is locked into God's wisdom. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to. I want you to hear, listen to it. Favor is hidden in the voice of God and found in the obedience of his instructions. Favor is locked into God's wisdom. Seek God's wisdom and you'll find his favor. Quickly turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8, and we're going to read one verse, verse 35. I want you to follow along with me. If you have the Amplified version, look at it and read it along with me, please. And this is just confirming what we just said. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, I'm reading out of the Amplified version. Okay, the Amplified version reads like this: For whoever finds me, wisdom, finds life, and draws forth and obtains favor from the Lord. Did you hear that? So, and when you find favor, we find life. And draws forth and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, I hope you got your shouting shoes on, because we turn over to Mark chapter 4. And I'm telling you, when I was reading through this and meditating on this, the Lord began to reveal and give some revelation on this verses of scripture. And we're going to go to Mark 4. We're going to start at verse 23. We're going to read it kind of in a reverse order. We're going to read verses 23, 24, 25. And then the Holy Ghost showed me something. Now, what I'd like to do also is I'd like to first read it out of the King James Version with you. And I want you to observe some things. This is going to be a blessing. Mark, let me get there myself. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Let me make sure I'm right now. Yeah, 23 and 24. Now we're talking about, remember, we're focusing on our hearing. We're fine-tuning our hearing. Okay? So in verse 23, we're going to read, let's read it together. We're going to read verses 23, 24, 25, and then we're going to go back and read verse 22. So verse 23 says in the King James Version, ready, read, If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. Verse 25, For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Now, let's also read verse 22. Let's go just jump up to 22, and I want you to see something. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Excuse me. Now, I tell you, when I read that many times in the King James Version, and again, in the spirit of transparency, that was one verse of scripture that, boy, I wrestled with. Because to me, It didn't seem fair. Something didn't seem right. If the one who has is going to get more, and then the one who doesn't have, what he doesn't have is going to be taken away. And you know, so I just really read that. And at the time, I had only read it in the King James Version. Well, glory to God. I went to the Father and I said, Father, you got to give me some insight on this. And you have to open up my understanding. And he said, Kevin, read it in the Amplified. Read it in the Amplified. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. Now, I want you to follow along and listen how the Amplified breaks this down. It says in verse 23, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. For he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Now, this is when he began to unfold some things. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be measured of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Verse 25, for to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. Now, let's look at verse 22, as I mentioned. Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. I'm going to keep going, but we're going to come back. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. Now, the Lord had me go back and carefully look at some things to extrapolate out of or pull out of. And he began to share is, in verse 24, he says in the Amplified, those that careful, that be careful what you are hearing. It is vitally important. What you are hearing, again, back to what we learned earlier, will also impact where you're living or how you're living. The measure of thought and study. So we can be hearing, but if we're not being careful about what we're hearing, as well as giving thought and studying that what we've heard. And then this was the kicker for me. Not only giving thought and study, but to the truth that you're hearing will shape what you're receiving. Please get that tonight. Holy Spirit, reveal it, reveal it. And then when we go back and you look at when you're doing that, that's when God can entrust more to us. And he, once we start responding to that which we have heard, he will give us more. But we're sitting around waiting for God. God, give me revelation. And he's saying, I need you to study. I need you to apply yourself. I need you to think on these things. And then it will become rhema to you. And then you will be able to hear more. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. And when he said, and give me more, I immediately thought of, and we're going to look at, jump over to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You know where I'm going. And I specifically, this was one of my late additions, so I have to refer to it now. So just bear with me one second. He just gave this to me, and I was home this afternoon, you know, when my family came home. And boy, I was running around the house, and my family was looking at me like, man, what is wrong with you? But this is why I was running. Because when the Lord gives you a revelation, you'll run too. Glory to God. When you get the revelation, he might wake you up in the middle of the night tonight and give you a revelation on what you're hearing tonight. But I guarantee you, it'll change your position and your posture. You won't be able to remain the same as you are in Jesus' name. I guarantee it. Glory to God. And then in the Amplified, I just want to read that out of the Amplified, Joshua 1:8. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. And this was the thing that really blessed me. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Back to that wisdom. We're going, see, it's one thing to have money. It's one thing to walk in prosperity. But if you don't have wisdom, you're just a fool with money. Now, I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about the individual who has money and does not know what to do with it. How many times have we heard documents and documentaries where people win the lottery or come into great inheritance and they can't keep it for 1 month? A broke fool is no different than a fool with money. It's still a fool. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, there is, that was Mark's rendition or translation. Similarly, turn over to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 18 real quick. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Similar situation, but listen to a slight variation. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, I'm reading this again out of the Amplified. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given. And from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, listen to this, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away. Did you hear that? So Luke talks about spiritual knowledge. See, that's another equation. We have to have spiritual knowledge. We've got to flow in this spiritual knowledge. Because when we're flowing in spiritual knowledge, that's when God can add more to us. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit, deliver this message. Listen to this, please. If our hearing is wrong, it will directly affect our thinking and significantly impact receiving God's best for our lives. I'm going to read that again. If our hearing is wrong, it will directly affect our thinking and significantly impact receiving God's best for our lives. Now, if we were all to have a radio frequency in here, and we were all dialing in and trying to listen, do you know that words, signals are transmitting through this place right now? Do you know the only reason why we can't hear it? Because we're not tuned into that frequency. Do you know that God is speaking right now? What channel are you on? What channel are you on? He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Turn over to Psalm chapter 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. And when I begin to see something here, you'll see where we're going. In the King James, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path, unto my path." In the Message translation, I'd like to read it to you. It says, "By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." Does that bring it home? Boy, that's good, isn't it? By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Well, many of you know this, but I'm just going to share it as again. Words are image containers. Have you ever been speaking with someone and they'll say to you, "See what I'm saying?" And if you're around young folks, and you know, I tell you, sometimes I need a translator because they always saying, "Yo, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?" No, I can't see what you're saying. I'm trying to barely to hear what you're saying, let alone, "You see what I'm saying, man? You see what I'm saying?" See what I'm saying? But what they're doing, and this is what the Lord began to reveal to me, through their words and through the speaker's words, they have an image in their mind. And they're trying to confirm. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what it is. And far too often, we're talking at one another instead of talking to one another. See, the person, the speaker, has this visual. I know what I'm talking about. Right. And I'm trying to get you to see what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Words are seeds. And when sown, it puts a demand on the environment where it is sown. Boy, I feel like I'm preaching better than y'all saying anything tonight. I'm telling you. But glory to God, I believe it's getting into your spirit. Because I know what Pastor Judy is talking about. Because I felt like we're doing a backflip. You know, just boom. You know, when you're, but it takes time. It's like it's going into the soil. It's going into the soil of your spirit. And that word is cultivating. And the more you think upon it, the more you study it, the more it becomes rhema to you, you too will feel like doing a backflip. Glory to God. The word has been spoken on who we are in Christ. And in order for us to walk in this favor of God, it's imperative that you see yourself as Christ Jesus. As God sees Jesus, that's how he sees you. God, Pastor said you got to see what he's saying. Turn over, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you're going over there, what I want you to meditate, we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And what I want you to see, we must see ourselves as the righteousness of God in Christ. You've got to see yourself as righteous. I don't care what you've done. When you accepted Jesus Christ, glory to God, all those filthy rags were thrown away. And you put on the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. It cleanses you and makes you whole. You no longer have to walk around like a beggar. But we are the redeemed of the Lord. And we're going to say so. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are not taking second best. God went to the cross. He paid an awesome price for you and I. No longer do we have to walk with our heads bowed down. But we can look up and see the salvation of our God. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You there? Okay, I'm staying in the Amplified. So if you want to join me, you can. If not, follow along, please. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature. A new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, hallelujah, and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. Verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in an example of the righteousness of God, who we ought to be approved and acceptable and in the right relationship with Him by His goodness. Now let me share this with you. Glory to God, let me share this with you. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read those verses again, but I want you to think about this. In verses 18 and verses 19 and verses 20 there, the word reconciled, reconciling, reconciliation means ministry of change and exchange. Ministry of change and exchange. Now, I'm going to insert those words there, and I want you to receive how it reads. Verse 18, but all things are from God, who through Christ Jesus changed us to Himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with Himself, and gave us the ministry of exchange. Glory to God. That by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. Verse 19. It was God personally present in Christ, changing and restoring, glory to God, the world to favor with Himself, not counting up or holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of exchange, of the restoration to favor. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be changed to God. Glory to God. Read that. Read that. Let that marinate. I'm telling you, you just replace and just exchange and put change and exchange in those places. It's going to explode. It's going to explode back on you. I'm telling you. Now, a part of that exchange and change, the greatest change that needs to take place, changing our mindset. If you're going to take on the form and fashion and everything that God has given us, we got to change our thinking. Got to change his thinking. I almost said stinking thinking. Oh, glory to God. Please turn quickly to Ephesians 4:23. We're going to look at verses 23 and 24. And we're talking about changing our mindset. So keep that in your mind. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. And it says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerated self created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. I tell you, if you start thinking like that, you'll see yourself in a different way. You'll start speaking to the mountains as Jesus did, and they must remove in your life. You'll start speaking to circumstances, and you'll speak life into your life and into the lives of others. Because it's not you. We've taken on God's image. We're God-like in the earth. And it's time to walk in our authority. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to conclude with these last this passage of scripture. Oh, thank you, Lord. Please turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read these out of two translations, but I'm going to start in the King James Version, and we're going to want you to follow along with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, we're going to read through 5 and 11, okay? Everybody there? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Ready? Let's read together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Now let's read verse 12 in the King James, okay? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I'm going to put an exclamation point on this one, and I believe that you're going to get the revelation of this right now. I want you to, if you have it, go to the Message Bible. And let's read that out of the Message Bible. Starting at verse 5 again, and I'm going to read a little bit more because the Lord has pronounced some things that he wants me to share before I conclude tonight. Verse 5 in the Message Bible starts out, think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredible humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Verse 9, because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. So that, and I want you to say this with me, all created beings in heaven and on earth. Okay. Even those long ago, dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. And I made a note there, when it says call out in praise, there will be no whispering. They're going to shout it out on bended knee. You are the Lord God. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Verse 12. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you're doing from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Say that. Responsive obedience. That's for this house. God is looking for us to be responsive obedient. You know what that means? That means when he says go, we go. It's not, but you gotta be hearing from God. That's not, Lord, let me pray about that. Let me go to my prayer partner and let's get in agreement. That's responsive obedience. When it comes to the body, from our leaders, it's time to go forth. We in the wind. We gone. That's where we have to be. That's what God's trying to get us to. And you're going to hear in a minute where that's leading us. Now that I'm separated from you, this is Paul speaking, keep it up. Better yet, listen at this, redouble your efforts. Redouble. I didn't know that was a word, redouble. But you get the point. So what we were doing in the beginning is not going to be enough. We're going to have to redouble your efforts. And listen to this. But this is how we're going to do it. He gives us the prescription. Being energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. Now listen, that energy is God's energy. An energy deep within you, God himself, willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. So the energy that we're going to require or be required of, glory to God, is not coming from us. It's coming from God. But the only way we're going to get it is by being sensitive and hearing what he says.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And finally, the Lord gave me this message for RLCC. And it's derived from verses 14 and 16, 14 through 16, in the same place we are. We're going to continue, but I'm going to read it out of the message, and I pray that you receive this. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. That's everybody. One voice, one vision. Go out and listen to what this great commission is for us. Go out into the world uncorrupted and a breath of fresh air in this squalid. And that word means, I had to look it up myself, it means foul, repulsive, neglected, and filthy, and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. See, there's two, they're correlated. They're correlated. When we're walking in this favor flow, you're going to see something. People are going to see us living good. They're going to see us living good. Some of us are still struggling with that. You've been sold this watered down gospel that says you can't be on top, that you can't have more than enough, that you can't have your needs met. But God went to the cross so that your needs are met. You're out of debt. You have plenty more to put in store. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are to live good, and then we are to represent the living God. The living God. Listen to this. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. We must recognize and obtain the true identity of Christ, Jesus, in order to fulfill our purpose. The level of your thinking will affect the level of your expecting and believing. I'm going to stop right there. I believe by the Spirit of God that you've heard from God. You've heard some things that are going to prick your thinking. They're going to challenge this enemy called average. We must see ourselves in the image of God, in His likeness. We must see ourselves as the face of Jesus Christ Himself in the earth. We're going to be examples of good living. And we're going to represent a living God. Glory to God. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to have shared your truth, shared what you have given me to share. I believe, Lord, I have shared it exactly like you told me to share. And I pray, Father, by the Spirit of God, that you illumine this word to every person here tonight, every person that'll see this DVD, anybody that sees it on the internet, that they will not see me, oh God. They will not just hear my voice, but they will hear the voice of the Father. I thank you that we are improving our hearing. We're going to hear God. We're going to have responsive obedience. And we're going to walk in the fullness of our Father. For this, Father God, we are grateful. Thank you, Father, for your presence here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.